America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell,
brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So if you're just joining us for the first time today, first of all, where you been? Show starts at 2. Secondly, thank you for listening to Dukes and Bell, Atlanta's number one sports station, 92.9 The Game, and its number one sports show. Here's the deal with the Braves. They have signed Eddie Rosario, which is not, I don't think, a coincidence, Mike, and it's something I believe that you talked about and, you know, people have thrown around for months now. Why don't we just go get Eddie Rosario? Well, they did. They signed him to a minor league contract. And they're sending him to AAA, okay? He was with the Nationals, but guys, he was hitting 183. So 183 with seven home runs. His OPS, which is his on-base and slugging combined, which is a real indicator of how you're doing, was 555. That's not great. Eddie Rosario has some work to do, but can he be the guy that he was in 21? I'm not willing to go there yet. But at the end of the day, Mike, you go get a guy that you know what he's capable of. You trust him, and more importantly, he's a guy that brings some culture, you know, to your clubhouse. He's a guy that brings some attitude to your clubhouse. So hopefully Eddie Rosario can help us out as we get ready to start this series with the Phillies tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Duvall's, you know, what this is what his third act, right, with us, with the Braves.
Correct.
Duvall has not been, admittedly, has not been as much of a contributor as he wants to be. And he is, you know, he's still struggling. Like, he's never going to be a, you know, a 300 hitter or a 250 hitter for that matter. Strikes out a lot, but does slug. So he's been, you know, his last time around, it's not been everything we've expected. I'm not pooping on it, because I think, you know, a lot of Braves fans are happy to see Rosario back. I know every time that Jesse Chavez is here, he always seems to do, right? Remember this year he started the season in Chicago, comes back.
That's right.
He's been really, really good. But, yeah, I mean, whatever you get from Rosario is gravy. He'll start with Gwinnett, and eventually he'll work his way up. I just, I'm looking for a bigger fish to fry. You know, I'm waiting to see. There's got to be something big between now and the trade deadline.
When you say big, what are we – you're talking about adding a bat?
Yeah, I mean, I know on the low end, cheaper would be Tommy Pham from the White Sox, and there's Rooker with the A's. But again, you and I had this conversation with Grant a few weeks ago. How much do we have left in the farm system? And I know we've got prospects, but we've certainly used a lot of, as we should when you're this close to winning the World Series every year. You've got to, you know, maximize it. But do we have the chips, you know, to get into the big game for some of these dudes that could really, really impact us at the trade deadline?
Yeah, that's going to be the question. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up and let us know what you think in regards to the Braves getting Rosario back. But more importantly, what are we going to do this weekend? And this is a series in which, you know, I'm not going to tell you it defines the season, because we'll see them again. But we don't see them as much as we did at once. You know, it used to be, Mike, you had 15 or 18 games against the division foe like
right.
This. I don't think it's maybe 10. It may be less than that this season.
Right. So you got to make hay. Look, you know, you and I have been going around. I'm not going to change my argument today. I don't care about winning the division, but I just don't want to be 12 games back either. You know, I mean, I think, you know, it sort of feels like, well, Philadelphia. Not only do we have Atlanta's, we got them. You know, we got them down, and we got their number. But, you know, Philadelphia is doing this without Realmuto, without Schwarber right now in the short term, and without Harper. We've gone through. Every Braves fan out there knows our injuries, but it seems like they've just been so much better at scoring clutch, not leaving guys on base. Their slugging is so much better than ours. This team, the numbers we got earlier today from Dave O'Brien from the Athletic, Carl, it's like stupefying. I mean, last year it seemed like the Braves were scoring 8 runs a game, right? Like every game. And
they
now
were.
You look at these numbers and you say, man, we literally haven't been able to score. Anytime somebody scores 4 runs or more, we're done. We literally are done. And that's just that flies in the face of what everything how this team is constructed. This team is built to be a big time power. You know, it's a slugging club. And we're not hitting home runs like we should, Carl. The on base percentage is 26 in baseball. Braves 669 OPS. This is the last 30 days from Dave O'Brien. Tied for 24th in the bigs. I mean, we're talking about teams like the Angels and the Nationals and the White Sox. That's brutal.
Yeah, and those teams are not contenders. Right, that's
correct.
The fundamental difference. Like, you look at the Braves, and everybody keeps talking about us being a contender, not with those numbers. It is a game of numbers.
To lose 27 straight games when you allow 4 or more runs, yeah, in an era where, I mean, I know they're talking about a dead ball now, but offense has been up across the board for Major League Baseball. This is the one year where it just seems like they cannot get the clutch hit. They cannot get the slugging, or we cannot get you said this the other day. Okay, Olsen's coming out of it. Maybe it'll be contagious. We haven't seen the entire lineup has not all hit at once all season long.
No, and that's why we haven't played our best baseball.
Right.
That is what I'm hoping. I keep hoping, because the season is not over, but we haven't played our best baseball. And if that is to happen between now and the end of the season, then maybe we can take off. But when all of these guys were rolling last year and we were just crushing everybody, you just felt like, again, I said this, it didn't matter who was pitching, who we were facing. We're about to put up 7 runs on you, and it didn't matter. And that completely is gone this year. More on the Braves coming up. Phillies in town. It's going to be a great pitching matchup, by the way. Freed and Nola, both of them are all-stars and should be. But I think it'll be an interesting pitching matchup tonight. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We got to talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
So would it surprise you if I told you that next spring, the first overall pick in the NFL draft would be Carson Beck? Would it surprise you? Would that surprise you, Mike? Because, again, we've talked about these quarterbacks that have come through Georgia. I think it's the one thing, all right, because none of them have been Heisman candidates. Listen, Stetson Bennett was incredible, and nobody would trade that experience of 2 national championships for the publicity of being, you know, the number one stat guy or having the most yards in college football. But if Carson Beck is the number one overall pick, I think it elevates the program to another level, because it's the one thing that Georgia hasn't done.
Yep, and it's the one thing that some of the fans care about as far as, like, the style points. And, I mean, I don't care. As long as your quarterback, I don't care what he does in the NFL, just win me some championships. But it is kind of like the last piece of the puzzle to get those kind of guys in and continue to be the team that, you know, puts guys in the NFL. And the biggest stage is quarterback. Giants would be picking, you know, again, if they got to get a quarterback. Is Carson Beck going to be that number one guy? Right now, we're going to wait. Right now, we're off the top of your head. There's other quarterbacks around the league that are going to emerge in the SEC and the Big Ten. But yeah, Carson Beck's got the chance because of the pedigree and because he's going to perform on the biggest stage. You know he's got the arm strength. They're not as good defensively, so they are going to be leaning a little bit. We think they're not as good defensively, but they're going to be leaning on him. So, yeah, why not? And then, you know, Kirby could, and maybe even, how about this? How about if he wins the Heisman, that says something pretty good about how the season's going to go for the Dogs.
No doubt. I mean, if that happens, not only are they in the college football playoff, they're probably vying for a national championship. So the Giants, Daniel Jones, Mike, we've been saying this, but this is it, right? I mean, this is his last go around to, I don't even want to say prove it, because I don't know if the Giants truly believe in him. I mean, he'd have to take him to the Super Bowl for them to, like, reinvest in him. I think this is just kind of a ride it out. And this sounds crazy for Giants fans, but ride it out with Daniel Jones as we continue to build this team, even though they went and drafted a wide receiver. So does that make sense?
Well, I mean, you've got like they've got to get rid of Daniel Jones. They were just at that crossroads where, and now look at the way the quarterback salaries have gone up. I mean, it still made no sense at the time. They've just got to basically, Carl, just eat it. You know what I mean? Just get them off the books and get on with your life. What about this? I mean, though, Carson Beck, we just talked about. What do you think, Quinn? What's Quinn Ewers' market going to be at the next level? Yeah, what's he going to be at the next level?
Well, listen, his deep ball is great. I mean, I would tell you he throws as good of a deep ball as Michael Penix did this year. I think you'll see it this upcoming season. And Quinn Ewers is going to be a top three quarterback taken in the draft. I don't know. Once we get to the spring and get past the season, we'll see how this shakes out. He could easily be the top guy, which is one of the reasons why he came back to Texas this year, because everybody was like, look, you had a great year. But if you go in this draft, and everybody knew you had six, seven, eight guys that you were going to be competing against, do you want to be the seventh or eighth guy, or do you want to be the first guy? So Shedeur Sanders came back. He came back. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to play out between now and the spring.
Well, we've heard so much about Jackson Dart, you know, and Lane Kiffin's offense. But, yeah, yep. You mentioned Shedeur Sanders. I mean, what's Colorado going to be? There's been so much talk. And guys just love to take shots at Deion and how that class comes together. What are they going to do this year? Are they going to win six or seven games? You mentioned Milroe. Is Milroe going to – we're going to see him. Georgia fans are going to hopefully get him on the ground, Georgia Bulldogs, because now it's a completely different Kalen DeBoer offense. And, again, if he becomes more accurate, that's a guy – you could see his game translating to the NFL.
Yeah.
Just running, you know, again, we just talked about Cam Newton. Just get more accurate.
Well, there's another guy, and it brings me to the Dan Lanning conversation that I wanted to have, Mike, because Dylan Gabriel is now in Oregon. He was at Oklahoma last year. 30 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Kid was great. And Oregon just brought in the number one wide receiver in this recruiting class, kid out of Duncanville, Texas. His name is DeCorian Moore. And he's a player. I mean, he's a pro. He will be if God willing, everything stays, you know, he's healthy. Point is, Dan Lanning, Mike, has two four-star wide receivers that he's brought in, and we brought the best wide receiver in from Missouri. I think a kid from Arizona, his name's Cooper Perry. All of a sudden, he's building all of this talent around their quarterback for next year, who is Dante Moore, who was at UCLA. Dylan Gabriel, Mike, might put up crazy numbers at Oregon this year. I don't want to count him out. Mm. Obviously, Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck. Keep your eye on Dylan Gabriel at Oregon this year when you talk about these quarterbacks and who may be the best college quarterback throwing the football around.
He's a lefty, too, Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, he's good,
man. I'm just looking at what you were talking about. I'm just looking at some highlights right now on the computer. Yeah, man, you're in the Big Ten, so this will be an adjustment period for Oregon. I mean, I know we're all, you and I, not anointing, but we certainly feel that, you know, Michigan's not going to be the same without Harbaugh, but they'll be good. But it's Ohio State. It's Ohio State's to win or lose. And, yeah, man, USC doesn't have the defense that you and I think most guys feel will ever make them, until they get that straightened out, they can truly make a run and win a national championship right now. But, yeah, this guy, it's a great pull. And going out there with that schedule, it's such a bizarre world this year, though, seeing Oregon and Washington playing in the Big Ten, USC in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I just, you know, again, you look at Beck's stats last year. Will he have more than 25 or 30 touchdowns? He had 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions last year. Gabriel at Oklahoma, as I mentioned, his touchdown to interception ratio, 30-6. So that's the thing, Mike. Great completion percentage. And so we'll see what he does up there. But we know they throw the football around. Dan Lanning, I think that's an interesting place for him. But I just bring that up.
I will say this. Yeah,
go ahead.
He's a little undersized. Sorry, yes, we're working from home today, so yeah, apologize for crossing over. But he's also 23 because he was UCF before Oklahoma. So he's another one of these dudes who's going to be like a grown man by the time he gets to the NFL.
Well, remember now, all of these guys, including a lot of guys in this class that just came out, 2020 affected their eligibility, and they were able to come back. So everybody got that extra year, and most of these guys took it. It's not their fault, but to your point, like that was the deal with Gabriel. You could talk about Penix. All of these guys are like, yeah, I'll get another year, and I'll come back. So I know it's crazy, but it's going to be fun. And I hope Carson Beck, man, balls out so we can be talking about this in the spring as him potentially being the number one pick.
Right on.
All right, dude, coming up. No Steve Kuhn today, but we got to talk about what if we were able to get one of the premier pass rushers for the Falcons. Apparently, there's a disgruntled pass rusher in the NFL. Should we be interested? We'll tell you who it is coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Guy Talk. Dukes and Bell, if you missed Big Hugh Douglas earlier in the show talking about the Phillies, the Eagles are on our schedule when it comes to the Falcons, Monday Night Football Week 2. Great stuff from Hugh. Also, Brian McFadden stopped by to talk some NFL. You'll hear that later in the show as well. Mike, listen, are you still concerned about the pass rush when it comes to our Falcons?
Yes. I'm just curious, you know, again, if the young guys, you know, step up from this rookie class, or the guys we've been talking about, Ebba Cady and Zach Harrison, can step up. But we've been saying that now for 2 years. I think you know when you know. I mean, Grady Jarrett, you know, I know he didn't just immediately jump on the field in 2015 and take over, but you knew he had the skills. And I'm just still not sold on where we go with our guys. Real quick, before I know you want to talk about a specific player who's out there. I was looking at the numbers. Look at the numbers earlier. And I apologize. It's called proofreading, and Carl will tell you I don't usually do it, but it was an article from Sporting News saying how the Falcons could create cap space to go do some things, and basically it would be extending Jake, moving some money around with with basically the offensive lineman, and we could create the 24. Right now, the Falcons are the second worst as far as cap space. We have only $3.124 million from Spotrac. And I just went to make sure, and I looked over it, and over the cap, they've got us, 3.4. So right now, without restructuring, we don't have the money to do maybe one of those free agent corners we were talking about, but I know you want to talk about edge.
Yeah, and you're right. This is why I keep talking about the A.J. Terrell deal will create, I think, some room, because you're talking about how those deals are structured. So, you know, let's
form
just
of
assume,
a bonus would create some cap space, right?
Correct. Yeah, let's just assume, and they pay some of these guys up front money that may be owed. Let's assume that we're going to create that space. Let's assume that we're going to have some money to do something, okay? Because they're going to have to. And part of this is, in case injuries happen, you got to be able to fill the void. So we will do something between now and the start of the season. But with that said, Matthew Judon, Mike, it looks like he is done in New England, okay? And the reason is that you know, he signed a four-year, $56 million contract in 2021. He skipped some of the voluntary workouts. Again, it's voluntary, but was present for the mandatory minicamp, which a lot of people say, okay, so he was there. But the two sides are not discussing anything moving forward as he approaches the last year of this deal that he signed in 2021. So he put out this tweet that basically is SpongeBob that says, I'm gonna head out, meaning I'm pretty much done. And Matthew Judon would improve our edge rush and our pass rush tremendously. And the reason why I bring this up is because we're one of the teams that's mentioned as possibly adding a guy like this. Seattle is, but so are the Falcons. And if you ask me right now, am I concerned about the pass rush? Yeah, not because I don't trust the guys that we drafted, but we haven't seen them. We don't know enough about them yet for me to be all in and tell you, yeah, we are absolutely filling the void. I do believe we're more athletic. Mike up front, I think we've got more size. I know we do. But I can't tell you guys, because we haven't seen these guys do it, whether or not the pass rush is going to be executed the way we expect it to be.
Well, that was the argument. I mean, look, as you said, I don't know what Rook Arojo is going to be doing. We seem to be a little more stout in the middle than on the edge. But, you know, in our 3-4, and again, I know you're only in the, you know, it's a small percentage because you're in nickel so much. But, you know, Lorenzo Carter is kind of just a like great guy, but he's just a guy. You know, we've talked about Caden Ellis, a little disappointed in the numbers. He didn't get up this last season. So is it going to be those new guys we talked about, the new faces? So I'd like to know that Braylon Trice can have an impact like the rookies the Rams drafted in the middle round we talked about last year. They had two guys come up with 17 and a half sacks. Hell yeah. But right now you can't say to Falcon fans, oh, I know Zach Harrison's going to be a 10 sack guy. Oh, I know this is the year that Evan Cady finally puts it all together.
Right.
You can't bank on that. So that's why I like the idea of getting Judon. That's why you love Penix so much. Draft Penix and use that money. I know there were certain edge rushers that either they were going one place or another, like Dan, you know, like Danielle Hunter. But still, there were a lot of guys we could have added. And I'm with you. Judon is a proven entity. You know what you're getting with him. But I just think I get the impression, Carl, they don't want to restructure and get down to that kind of cap hell they've been in. So I think our team, at least edge rush, is on the field, right?
Yeah. The corner thing is interesting. And again, we broached this with Brian McFadden talking about why none of these veteran corners have been signed, which you'll hear coming up later. But I do think you're probably right about this aspect of it. Would I be interested? Should we be investigating and looking at this? Absolutely, because it improves your team. The problem becomes, guys, the same issue that the Patriots are dealing with is what we'd have to deal with. And that's what Mike's alluding to. He's in the last year of a four-year, $56 million deal. He wants a new deal. He's going to get a new deal wherever he ends up. And are you willing to invest that into a guy that's, what is he now, 32? He's coming off of a season-ending bicep injury. Okay.
Yeah, it's the age thing because they've got the most cap space. They've got the most cap space to New England, and we have the second least, and you mentioned Seattle. Seattle, they'd have to restructure a bunch of guys. Seattle's got the least cap space according to above the cap right now.
Yeah. So it's out there. I just, you know, when you look at, okay, what else are we going to do? The most realistic thing between now and probably the start of the season, I won't even say camp in 2 weeks, is a corner. Adding some type of defensive back cover corner to what we already have. But I think also, Mike, I feel like they want to get into camp. They want to see and evaluate the players they have. And then if they want to do that, then they'll do it later. I don't think that's why they haven't done it, you know? And so I just feel like there's no rush because they want to get into camp and say, all right, we feel completely comfortable with the guys we have and the physicality and all the things we've been looking for. Because right now, you know, for the last 3 months, we've been running around in shorts and a helmet on.
Right.
So that's what I believe. But if that money is to be spent somewhere, if in fact they create it, which I think they're going to have to, it's going to be a cover corner.
Right, because you got Clark Phillips. We talked about Mike Hughes. D. Alford's been with the organization a couple of years. We all know about A.J. Terrell and how are they going to do his deal before camp starts or maybe right when camp is the first week. There's a bunch of guys. And, again, we've got $3 million, and we could make some space. But there are some dudes that right now, and this isn't like, you know, like you how we always get into like the free agents. Ooh, big shiny names. Xavien Howard, Adoree Jackson, Stephon Gilmore, they're better than anybody we've got other than A.J. I mean, and you could include A.J. Terrell because those guys get their ball on interceptions. They're ball hawking players.
Yeah, I totally agree. What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up as we approach camp. And again, we're a few weeks away. If you wanted to address one area, what would it be? Obviously, we're not going to go sign a quarterback. We're not adding to that room.
Got that covered.
Adding running backs. We've got that covered. Mike, we're not adding wide receivers. We spent money. What's up, Darnell? On wide receivers. Well, there are certain areas of this team where you go, all right, well, that's silly. We're not going to have redundancy there just because, well, we need another guy. What makes sense? What really makes sense for us to add to this team? And that's the question.
Right. To me, corner is the thing. Corner and edge. But it just seems like the only edge rusher you just talked about that you would be interested in, you know, it's just too cost prohibitive because you got to really move like a lot of money around. And we're just coming off where we're finally clean with the cap that we don't want to start kicking the can down the road because we know how that ends, right? So, yeah, I guess, and also the new coaching staff, the new adds to the coaching staff and how much they see potential or they're going to unlock all those names we keep talking about that we're kind of like waiting to, you know, is Ebbitt Cady going to be another second round bust? We've had a bunch of those, no matter who the GM is. Second round's been a real blind spot for this organization. This is the year he's got to really pop.
I agree. Listen, if we get to the end of the season and Arnold Ebbitt Cady is not a double-digit sack guy, he ain't that guy. Like last year, great improvement. I saw it, but he's got to be a double-digit sack guy. And that was the expectation when we drafted him out of Penn State. I think if that doesn't happen this year, you just say, okay, he's a rotational guy that can help a team, but he's not a double-digit sack guy every year, year in and year out, and you can consistently count on that knowing he's got that kind of skill. And I'm with you. We're going to see. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Normally, we have a chance to talk to Steve Coonan. Today, that is not the case. Steve is out. Hawks CEO, I know a lot of people are like, man, you guys, I want to ask this question or that question. I think the big thing, Mike, and next week we'll get a chance to talk to Steve about this is, with all the conversation about us being active, why didn't we make more moves? And I had heard the same thing. I mean, not necessarily from the Hawks, but from other people who had heard that the Hawks are going to be doing some things. And I said three moves from what I understood they were trying to achieve. I think the only one they did, Mike, was trade DeJounte. So, you know, no Steve to answer those questions today, but we'll get to him next week, guys.
Yeah, man, look, DeJounte's off the books, and that's good. And I guess some would say maybe this is the only and the best thing you could get was, you know, you get two first-rounders back, but they're not, as you brought up, they're not great first-round picks. They're going to be back in the first round. And then, you know, you hope that Dyson Daniels is going to be, you know, a defensive stopper to add. Again, Trey is what he is. He's a tremendous scorer, but a defensive liability. So I just... If you're wowed by that, guys, if you're a Hawks fan and you're wowed by what we've done and you're saying, okay, that's all we need, I got to tell you, man. I mean, your standards are pretty freaking low, Carl. I got to be honest. Now, I know guys are killing us for throwing big names out there like Brandon Ingram or Klay Thompson. And, yeah, no, I didn't want a star for star power. No, I want a star because the star is really good. He's better than a guy who scores 5 points a freaking game.
Yeah.
And by the way, got some great news down here on the south side. It's freaking pouring.
Oh, I love it. It rained like cats and dogs up here.
Bro, we have not had rain, other than a little sprinkle for almost a month. And so, yeah, it's coming down. I may run out during the commercial break and dance around like a Native American. Can I say Indian? Can't do that. Anyway, we're going to go do another rain dance to keep this going, brother.
I told you. I'm glad you guys are getting it. We got it up here. I literally walked outside and was just like, thank you. All right, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk, man?
Right now, there's a guy, 24-year-old. Look at these two old farts. Wait till you have a brown yard you spent thousands on, son. You'll understand. No hey, man. Looks like U.S. Soccer is going to make a decision on Berhalter as early as next week. We'll get into that. And I just mentioned Klay Thompson. Some interesting stories coming out of Golden State. Was he a bigger pain in the ass than Draymond?
Oh.
Stay tuned.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans. Yes! Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long. Welcome to Atlanta
where the play is play. Where the play is play. It is at Dukes and Bell. Hope you guys are having a nice July 5th. A lot of folks are off today. A lot of guys hitting us up on the text line saying they're just kicking it. At the house, maybe grilling out. If you got any leftovers from yesterday. By the way, speaking of leftovers, Carl, I got the studio audience here. We're working from home today, and I got Ike sitting on the beanbag chair, and he's kind of been sluggish. And I was like, what's going on, man? And I noticed he hadn't eaten his breakfast, and he always goes to town. I do the farmer's dog ads. You get the farmer's dog and all that. He got into a plate that was apparently my sister didn't realize was too close to the edge. Yeah. He ate three leftover hot dogs and three pieces of barbecue chicken.
Oh, he's full.
This Schweinhund, as they say in German, this pig dog. So he's looking at me. I'm like, yeah, I know, I did it. And now he's literally looking at me like, oh. So he wants belly rubs. You your bad dog. Anyway, that was a lot of fun for the 4th of July last night. We talked about the fireworks early to start the show in our respective neighborhoods. I just put a piece of video up at Mike Bell ATL. This is pretty funny. Up in Glacier View, Alaska, they do this event every year, and it helps veterans charities. They charge $20, and you have a ringside seat to watch cars shot off a cliff about 300 feet off in the air. I just posted the video. It's friggin' awesome, man. Most years they use about 6 vehicles. They're launched off the cliff. However, this year they had about a dozen for the celebration. And they use 2 runways. One has a monorail that the vehicle will be strapped to. The other one is freewheeling, where they put a piece of wood, wedge it against the gas pedal, and the cars go flying. But anyway, if you're looking for some fun, senseless destruction to celebrate America, go to Mike Bell ATL and check it out.
That's crazy.
It's really, really neat. I can watch this stuff all day. Hey, man, we were talking about the rain. A couple of guys hit us up saying, yes, you're not me and old farts. Yes, rain. We do need rain, whether it's at Lake Lanier or wherever you live. It's good to get the showers going through, because I'm looking at brown grass and it's turning green right before my eyes. All right, buddy boy. We were talking earlier about the Draymond Green comments about, I wasn't going to beg Clay to stay if he wants to go. And he was being respectful about his legacy. But there's an interesting article, and this is from the New York Times, the New York Post. So I know guys hear the Post, sometimes they say, oh, hold on. But this one is reprinted from an article that came out in San Francisco. They're saying the last 3 years, I know Draymond Green has punched people out and got himself suspended, but Clay has been equally exhausting behind the scenes. KRON Channel 4 News reporter Jason Dumas said on 95.7 The Game, it's not as loud, talking about Clay, it's not as loud because it's not you stomping on someone's chest if he's slamming stuff on the bench and sulking and doing what on court. How do you think it is in practice? How do you think it is in the Warriors locker room? It's been uncomfortable. It has. It just doesn't come out as loudly as Draymond. What do you make of that? They're making Thompson sound like he's a real pain in the butt.
Yeah, and Mike, was this because of his frustrating season, that he wasn't, you know, coming off the injury, he wasn't necessarily healthy, right, didn't shoot the ball as well as he wanted to. Like, all this stuff was culminating, and then in the back of that, or at least not in the back for him, but maybe in the front, they're not paying him. They didn't offer him a deal. They're not talking to him about paying him for what he's been able to accomplish with Steph and Draymond. So you add all that together, Mike, he may have been a pain in the butt. I mean, man, he may have been. I don't put it past the notion of all of that stuff playing out. I'm not giving him a pass or an excuse. I'm just simply saying, like, all of that stuff is true, and maybe he was kind of going through it this last season. And, you know, we talk about Max Fried, and listen, he's settled in and he's been great. But at the beginning of the season, we talked about, is he more concerned about the fact that he doesn't have this deal in place yet and the Braves may not pay him? And he's like, dude, it's make or break this season. I think all that stuff matters, man.
I think it does. Steve Kerr once said that Klay Thompson is not low maintenance. He's no maintenance, that he's what a great teammate. So I think maybe born of frustration, missing like 2.5 years. You talked about the injuries and just not being the same guy. But anyway, it's an interesting angle that we had not heard. Hey, there's multiple reports now, Men in Blazers have it as well, that U.S. Soccer is apparently going to make a decision about Greg Berhalter, the embattled head coach or manager of the U.S. men's national team, after we were obviously smoked by, well, not smoked, but we were beaten by Uruguay. It was an embarrassing loss to Panama, a tournament we were supposed to go very far, and we've already talked about it here on the show. So a lot of folks are saying they got to take the guys that run U.S. soccer, Carl, like the head, the president, the board, get all those guys out. And I've seen a lot of folks who follow soccer here in town who feel it is really run like a private clique in a country club. Maybe it is time to shove those guys out the door.
Well, I've said this. You know, we talk about going outside of what feels good. Right. I think a lot of the hiring that has happened, and listen, we haven't paid attention to it. Maybe the hardcore soccer fans have. The casual fans haven't. You know when the casual fans pay attention to it? Copa America, World Cup. When we see the team is struggling and you go, man, I thought we were supposed to be better. So, Mike, a lot of this hiring has happened, you know, with people that they're familiar with. They haven't necessarily, to use the term, gone outside the box. Maybe it's time. Maybe you need to go with something completely different and somebody who's willing to shake things up, not what feels good. And I think, does that help us be a better squad? I still think it comes down to talent and meshing these guys, you know, and putting them in the best position to be successful. I don't necessarily know if that's happened with Berhalter.
Well, I know a lot of guys are A lot of guys are saying, go get Jurgen Klopp, who obviously took Liverpool to the championships, got an aggressive style. I mean, look, I would love to get these guys. You talked about Klinsmann. I know Klinsmann probably because some of the people didn't get all their juice because they bring in a foreigner in here. Yeah. Look, Berhalter is a great big nothing. I've never understood the appeal of this guy. I mean, yeah, there's nothing exciting about this. And the team, like we said, maybe you got to start. I know it's great that guys are get the juice or playing in Europe, but they're not playing in Europe. They're not starting. So you got to have some guys that have some kind of juju, right? So a lot of things for whoever takes over U.S. soccer if they do move on. So stay tuned on that one. Hey, we were talking earlier about how quarterbacks are just getting love from their teammates. We heard about, you know, Patrick Mahomes and heard about the guys love C.J. Stroud down in Houston. Patrick Mahomes, by the way, and his wife at Wimbledon, Carl. He's wearing a nice, like, sort of a linen suit. Kind of looked, obviously, light and dashing to be sitting courtside at Wimbledon. It was pretty cool. Meanwhile, Travis Kelce, who certainly has been traveling the world with his girlfriend. I'm not even going to mention her name. He was asked in an interview about why didn't you do the receiver documentary. They're doing ones for quarterbacks, and they were going to do one, even though he's a tight end. You got Devontae Adams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Debo Samuel, George Kittle. If Kelce had done it, he would have been, you know, probably the main show because you're going to get everything with his girlfriend. He was on the Bustin' with the Boys podcast. He says, hey, man, after Mahomes did it, I did get asked about doing it and being the focus of a TV show. He goes, I'd rather just play ball, man. I'm already doing enough with the podcast and everything. I'm way over this reality blank. Dude, I'm out on that blank. So, yeah, and he's front and center, you know, on everybody's, you know, supermarket tabloid with his relationship with his girlfriend.
You know what he's saying? I'm living it. Like, yeah, I don't have to live in this fantasy world. Right. Yeah, I don't have to live in this fantasy world where you're making up scripts and you're trying to, you know, make people be interested. People are interested in what I'm doing, even though I don't want them to be because of who I'm dating. So I'm with him, man. Like, that's overkill. And by the way, I say this. Everybody talks about this, Mike, like, oh, it'd be great. You know, Taylor Swift and, you know, pick your favorite star. You can't go anywhere without somebody wanting a picture, taking pictures when you don't want them to, asking you for stuff. Like, it's nonstop. That is what has become of Travis Kelce's life. He thought he was a star in the NFL. He's been elevated about three times.
Right. And as he said, you know, he's just, you saw him on stage. Everything is under the microscope. No point adding even more cameras. You nailed it. Hey, how do you feel? How was your spread? I saw some of the food that you posted for your 4th of July party. The sliders look great. You had the poppers going. Man, those things looked amazing. You do all that prep yourself?
Yeah, man. I mean, part of what I enjoy, I mean, everybody's different. Like, when my mom used to cook, part of it was she would do all of this stuff. And then you'd be like, Mom, you want something? And she'd be like, no, I'm good. And now I understand that because you do all the prep and you get it ready. And I enjoy that process. But then, like, when the food is ready and I'm like, and even like Michelle's like, you're going to eat a little bit? And I'm like, I'm not as hungry. And she's like, you cooked all this food. And I'm like, but yes, ribs, we had steak bites, we had poppers, it was a bunch of stuff. I'm trying to remember all the stuff, you know, because I wanted to eat throughout the day and kind of have different things. But no, man, thank you. It was great. I posted some of that stuff, and a guy was like, what are steak bites? It's basically ribeye. You just chop it up in one-inch pieces. And you marinate it, and I put the marinade out there on Twitter at Put 'Em Up C Deuce, and then, you know, you create a sauce for it, and whatever you like, by the way. It doesn't have to be a sweet sauce. It could be something else. But, Mike, they came out, sesame seeds on top, the little chives. Right, it was unbelievable, man.
Man, Becky did her buffalo chicken dip, which is amazing. It's healthy, actually, too, and it's freaking great. We did that.
You love that chicken dip, don't you? Yeah, you guys you've talked about it.
Spicy, yeah, man, just fantastic. You know, get little, little low fat crackers and go to town. One of the cool things, and we did, she did a butt, smoked it all night, came out great, really tender. I'll say the word moist. One of my neighbors. Now, this was a minor controversy from our 4th of July celebration. Uh-oh. Craig and Sue. No, I love it. I posted a picture. What do you think of food made up to look like other food? She, for dessert, made a little miniature, like, dessert hamburgers. They were two Nilla wafers with one part of an Oreo to look like the meat, and then using icing to look like mustard and lettuce and bacon on it.
That's tight.
I put the photo up at Mike Bell ATL. It's up there for you. Got to scroll down a bit. And so a guy goes, vanilla wafer, Oreo colored frosting. I go, it's really yummy. Mr. NRBF goes, I don't like food that looks like other food. I don't trust it.
Goodness.
Another guy says, Yeah, it was really, really good. I also maintained my street cred with some of the audience by having chili cheese Fritos on the table in the background. But, yeah, man, so, yeah, it was kind of a cool little idea. But, yeah, we had a blast. And, again, burgers and brats. The big hit was I broke out the old bartending equipment. I was mixing up some drinks and stuff. The Cristiano tequila, which I know you've had before, is just amazing. That was a big hit this weekend. If you hadn't seen it, we don't make any money off this. It's just something I've been drinking lately. And, boy, is that stuff smooth. It's like the smoothest tequila you've ever had.
Yeah, it's good.
Double añejo.
It is. And the bottle that you actually gave me, I've not opened. I know you keep asking me, like, you had it. I've not opened that bottle because I'm waiting on something special to happen so I can celebrate. Right. And I've just had it, and it's sitting there. And every time I pass my bar, I'm like, because I want to pop it. I want to pop that thing, man.
Right. Hey, one last story before we get out of here. We'll get to the Falcon Report coming up. I don't have the video on this one, but I can tell you real quick. It happened in Florida. It looks like it's in the Everglades. It looks like it's on a jet boat, one of those like boats you see in the Everglades, because I see a lot of headphones. So you'd have to wear those to protect your ears because those propellers are really loud. But a Florida man, the quote on Twitter, of all the most Florida man things I've ever seen, this could be the Florida maniest. A guy's fishing with his boys, skimming around the water, and an alligator jumps up out of the boat. He opens the beer with the alligator. His teeth, and then his buddy shotguns
him. Oh, stop it.
Yes, I will post this up now. I got it here. I'm putting the link up.
And they survived to tell the story.
Yeah. He literally just swipes the beer. It hits the alligator's front, like, spiky teeth.
Wow.
And then, you know, he just hands it to his boys, and they go to town.
That's
and
crazy.
I just posted it at Mike Bell ATL. There you all go. Right. Opening an alligator's jaws to open a beer can, the most Florida thing I've seen all day. And there's your guy.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yes!
Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the play is play.
Where the play is play. It is at Dukes and Bell. Hope you guys are having a nice July 5th. A lot of folks are off today. A lot of guys hitting us up on the text line saying they're just kicking it. At the house, maybe grilling out. If you got any leftovers from yesterday. By the way, speaking of leftovers, Carl, I got the studio audience here. We're working from home today, and I got Ike sitting on the beanbag chair, and he's kind of been sluggish. And I was like, "What's going on, man?" And I noticed he hadn't eaten his breakfast, and he always goes to town. I do the farmer's dog ads. You get the farmer's dog and all that. He got into a plate that was apparently my sister didn't realize was too close to the edge. Yeah. He ate three leftover hot dogs and three pieces of barbecue chicken.
Oh, he's full.
This Schweinhund, as they say in German, this pig dog. So he's looking at me. I'm like, yeah, I know, I did it. And now he's literally looking at me like, oh. So he wants belly rubs. You're a bad dog. Anyway, that was a lot of fun for the 4th of July last night. We talked about the fireworks early to start the show in our respective neighborhoods. I just put a piece of video up at Mike Bell ATL. This is pretty funny. Up in Glacier View, Alaska, they do this event every year, and it helps veterans charities. They charge $20, and you have a ringside seat to watch cars shot off a cliff about 300 feet off in the air. I just posted the video. It's friggin' awesome, man. Most years they use about six vehicles. They're launched off the cliff. However, this year they had about a dozen for the celebration. And they use two runways. One has a monorail that the vehicle will be strapped to. The other one is freewheeling, where they put a piece of wood, wedge it against the gas pedal, and the cars go flying. But anyway, if you're looking for some fun, senseless destruction to celebrate America, go to Mike Bell ATL and check it out.
That's crazy.
It's really, really neat. I can watch this stuff all day. Hey, man, we were talking about the rain. A couple guys hit us up saying, yes, you're not me and old farts. Yes, rain. We do need rain, whether it's at Lake Lanier or wherever you live. It's good to get the showers going through, because I'm looking at brown grass and it's turning green right before my eyes. All right, buddy boy. We were talking earlier about the Draymond Green comments about, I wasn't going to beg Clay to stay if he wants to go. And he was being respectful about his legacy. But there's an interesting article, and this is from the New York Times, the New York Post. So I know guys hear the Post, sometimes they say, oh, hold on. But this one is reprinted from an article that came out in San Francisco. They're saying the last 3 years, I know Draymond Green has punched people out and got himself suspended, but Clay has been equally exhausting behind the scenes. KRON Channel 4 News reporter Jason Dumas said on 95.7 The Game, it's not as loud, talking about Clay, it's not as loud because it's not you stomping on someone's chest if he's slamming stuff on the bench and sulking and doing what on court. How do you think it is in practice? How do you think it is in the Warriors locker room? It's been uncomfortable. It has. It just doesn't come out as loudly as Draymond. What do you make of that? They're making Thompson sound like he's a real pain in the butt.
Yeah, and Mike, was this because of his frustrating season that he wasn't, you know, coming off the injury, he wasn't necessarily healthy, right. didn't shoot the ball as well as he wanted to. Like, all this stuff was culminating, and then in the back of that, or at least not in the back for him, but maybe in the front, they're not paying him. They didn't offer him a deal. They're not talking to him about paying him for what he's been able to accomplish with Steph and Draymond. So you add all that together, Mike, he may have been a pain in the butt. I mean, man, he may have been. I don't put it past the notion of all of that stuff playing out. I'm not giving him a pass or an excuse. I'm just simply saying, like, all of that stuff is true, and maybe he was kind of going through it this last season. And, you know, we talk about Max Fried, and listen, he settled in, and he's been great. But at the beginning of the season, we talked about, is he more concerned about the fact that he doesn't have this deal in place yet, and the Braves may not pay him, and he's like, dude, it's make or break this season. I think all that stuff matters, man.
I think it does. Steve Kerr once said that Klay Thompson is not low maintenance. He's no maintenance, that he's a great teammate. So it just, I think maybe born of frustration, missing like 2.5 years. You talked about the injuries and just not being the same guy. But anyway, it's an interesting angle that we had not heard. Hey, there's multiple reports now. Men in Blazers have it as well, that U.S. Soccer is apparently going to make a decision about Greg Berhalter, the embattled head coach or manager of the U.S. men's national team, after we were obviously smoked by, well, not smoked, but we were beaten by Uruguay. It was an embarrassing loss to Panama, a tournament we were supposed to go very far in. We've already talked about it here on the show. So a lot of folks are saying they got to take the guys that run U.S. soccer, Carl, like the head, the president, the board, get all those guys out. And I've seen a lot of folks who follow soccer here in town who feel it is really run like a private clique in a country club. Maybe it is time to shove those guys out the door.
Well, I've said this. You know, we talk about going outside of what feels good.
Right.
I think a lot of the hiring that has happened, and listen, we haven't paid attention to it. Maybe the hardcore soccer fans have. The casual fans haven't. You know when the casual fans pay attention to it? Copa America, World Cup. When we see the team is struggling and you go, man, I thought we were supposed to be better. So, Mike, a lot of this hiring has happened, you know, with people that they're familiar with. They haven't necessarily, to use the term, gone outside the box. Maybe it's time. Maybe you need to go with something completely different and somebody who's willing to shake things up, not what feels good. And I think, does that help us be a better squad? I still think it comes down to talent and meshing these guys, you know, and putting them in the best position to be successful. I don't necessarily know if that's happened with Berhalter.
Well, I know a lot of guys are saying go get Jurgen Klopp, who obviously took Liverpool to the championships, got an aggressive style. I mean, look, I would love to get these guys. You talked about Klinsmann. I know Klinsmann probably because some of the people didn't get all their juice because they bring in a foreigner in here.
Yeah.
Look, Berhalter is a great big nothing. I've never understood the appeal of this guy. I mean, yeah, there's nothing exciting about this. And the team, like we said, maybe you got to start. I know it's great that guys are get the juice or playing in Europe, but they're not playing in Europe. They're not starting. So you got to have some guys that have some kind of juju, right? So a lot of things for whoever takes over U.S. soccer if they do move on. So stay tuned on that one. Hey, we were talking earlier about how quarterbacks are just getting love from their teammates. We heard about, you know, Patrick Mahomes and heard about the guys love C.J. Stroud down in Houston. Patrick Mahomes, by the way, and his wife at Wimbledon, Carl. He's wearing a nice, like, sort of a linen suit, kind of like, obviously, light and dashing to be sitting courtside at Wimbledon. It was pretty cool. Meanwhile, Travis Kelce, who certainly has been traveling the world with his girlfriend, I'm not even going to mention her name. He was asked in an interview about why didn't you do the receiver documentary? They're doing ones for quarterbacks, and they were going to do one, even though he's a tight end. You got Davante Adams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Debo Samuel, George Kittle. If Kelce had done it, he would have been, you know, probably the main show because you're going to get everything with his girlfriend. He was on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. He says, hey, man, after Mahomes did it, I did get asked about doing it and being the focus of a TV show. He goes, I'd rather just play ball, man. I'm already doing enough with the podcast and everything. I'm way over this reality blank. Dude, I'm out on that blank. So, yeah, and he's front and center, you know, on everybody's, you know, supermarket tabloid with his relationship with his girlfriend.
You know what he's saying? I'm living it. Like, yeah, I don't have to live it. In fantasy world.
This.
Yeah,
right.
I don't have to live in this fantasy world where you're making up scripts and you're trying to, you know, make people be interested. People are interested in what I'm doing, even though I don't want them to be because of who I'm dating. So I'm with him, man. Like, that's overkill. And by the way, I say this. Everybody talks about this, Mike, like, oh, it'd be great. You know, Taylor Swift and, you know, pick your favorite star. You can't go anywhere without somebody wanting a picture, taking pictures when you don't want them to, asking you for stuff. Like, it's nonstop. That is what has become of Travis Kelce's life. He thought he was a star in the NFL. He's been elevated about three times.
Right. And as he said, you know, he's just, you saw him on stage. Everything is under the microscope. No point adding even more cameras. You nailed it. Hey, how do you feel? How was your spread? I saw some of the food that you posted for your 4th of July party. The sliders look great. You had the poppers going. Man, those things looked amazing. You do all that prep yourself?
Yeah, man. I mean, part of what I enjoy, I mean, everybody's different. Like, when my mom used to cook, part of it was she would do all of this stuff. And then you'd be like, Mom, you want something? And she'd be like, no, I'm good. And now I understand that, because you do all the prep and you get it ready, and I enjoy that that process. But then, like, when the food is ready, and I'm like, and even like Michelle's like, you gonna eat a little bit? And I'm like, I'm not as hungry. And she's like, you cooked all this food? And I'm like, but yes, ribs, we had steak bites, we had poppers, it was a bunch of stuff. I'm trying to remember all the stuff, you know, because I wanted to eat throughout the day and kind of have different things. But no, man, thank you. It was great. I posted some of that stuff, and a guy was like, what are steak bites? It's basically ribeye. You just chop it up in 1-inch pieces. And you marinate it, and I put the marinade out there on Twitter. I put them up, C Deuce, and then, you know, you create a sauce for it. And whatever you like, by the way. It doesn't have to be a sweet sauce. It could be something else. But, Mike, they came out, sesame seeds on top, the little chives. Right, it was unbelievable, man.
Man, Becky did her buffalo chicken dip, which is amazing. It's healthy, actually, too, and it's freaking great. We did that.
You love that chicken dip, don't you? Yeah, you guys you've talked about it.
Spicy, yeah, man, just fantastic. You know, get little little low-fat crackers and go to town. One of the cool things, and we did she did a butt, smoked it all night, came out great, really tender. I'll say the word, moist. One of my neighbors, now this was a minor controversy from our 4th of July celebration. Uh-oh. Craig and Sue, no, I love it. I posted a picture. What do you think of food made up to look like other food? She, for dessert, made a little miniature, like, dessert hamburgers. They were two Nilla wafers with one part of an Oreo to look like the meat, and then using icing to look like mustard and lettuce and bacon on it.
That's tight.
I put the photo up at Mike Bell ATL. It's up there for you. Got to scroll down a bit. And so a guy goes, vanilla wafer, Oreo colored frosting. I go, it's really yummy. Mr. NRBF goes, I don't like food that looks like other food. I don't trust it.
Goodness.
Another guy says, yeah, it was really, really good. I also maintained my street cred with some of the audience by having chili cheese Fritos on the table in the background. But, yeah, man, so, yeah, it was kind of a cool little idea. But, yeah, we had a blast. And, again, burgers and brats. The big hit was I broke out the old bartending equipment. I was mixing up some drinks and stuff. The Cristiano tequila, which I know you've had before, is just amazing. That was a big hit this weekend. If you hadn't seen it, we don't make any money off this. It's just something I've been drinking lately. And, boy, is that stuff smooth. It's like the smoothest tequila you've ever had.
Yeah, it's good.
Double añejo.
It is. And the bottle that you actually gave me, I've not opened. I know you keep asking me, like, you had it. I've not opened that bottle because I'm waiting on a, something special to happen so I can celebrate. Right. And I've just had it, and it's sitting there. And every time I pass my bar, I'm like, because I want to pop it. I want to pop that thing, man.
All right. Hey, one last story before we get out of here. We'll get to the Falcon Report coming up. I don't have the video on this one, but I can tell you real quick. It happened in Florida. It looks like it's in the Everglades. It looks like it's on a jet boat, one of those like boats you see in the Everglades, because I see a lot of headphones. So you'd have to wear those to protect your ears because those propellers are really loud. But a Florida man, the quote on Twitter, of all the most Florida man things I've ever seen, this could be the Florida manniest. A guy's fishing with his boys, skimming around the water, and an alligator jumps up out of the boat. He opens the beer with the alligator teeth, and then his buddy shotguns him.
Oh, stop it.
Yes, I will post this up now. I got it here. I'll put the link up.
And they survived to tell the story.
Yeah. The guy, he literally just swipes the beer. It hits the alligator's front, like, spiky teeth.
Wow.
And then, he just hands it to his boys, and they go to town.
That's
and
crazy.
I just posted it at Mike Bell ATL. There you go. Right. Opening an alligator's jaws to open a beer can, the most Florida thing I've seen all day. And there's your guy talk. Brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, Man L, do not open it with an alligator.
Yeah, get some Hey, Man L in your life, man. It is summertime, beach time, lake time, fun time. It's time to enjoy some Hey, Man L. And I had a guy hit me up. He said, Dukes, I couldn't find it in my Publix. You have to ask for it if they don't have it. Tell the manager, hey, get Hey Man L, and our distributors will get it there. Trust us, all right? Hey, coming up, Falcon Report, guys. What is our concern, our level of concern? We'll explain what we're talking about next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.